You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday at 11 a.m. to catch the Inside the Cleveland Browns hosted by Sarah Carnes and Dustin Fox, followed by the all-new Dog Pound Report at 11:30 hosted by Andy Baskin and Nathan Zagura this week. The last week of the Dog Pound Report till we get to the pregame show with myself will air at 11:30
a.m.
Last one until,
Till August?
No, August is even going to be the pregame show. So Dog Pound Report from an off-season standpoint is done.
Wow.
Yeah, so the set will look different. I think it'll be, on location now. So, it's going to ramp up. And that partnership for, between Channel 5 and the Cleveland Browns will really take off. And their production of the pregame show will be very interesting.
Yeah. Ready to go, baby.
It will.
It's going to be here before you know it.
Oh, my God, I know. Especially with vacations and off weeks and on weeks. And
yeah, you're off next week. You're in Mexico.
I'm south.
Living it up.
Yes.
Living it up. Zagura will be back on Tuesday. It'll be Jim Donovan and I on Monday.
That'll be great.
And then Zagura and I Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, no show. 1 week from today.
Correct.
We're all off for the holiday weekend.
Yes.
That could be an ugly weekend for me. I'm not
And this building, most likely, even next week,
yeah,
is going to be a ghost
town. Zagura's going to be like on his couch in the basement. He'll call me and be like, hey, can I just dial up and do my show here?
Are you going to let him get away with that?
I don't know. I'd like to not do that. But
I know.
It gets tough when the whole building's closed and you're there.
Yeah, but I'm in here by myself with lights on and individuals are walking by. And it's just the same.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's all good. Let's go back to those comments by Jameis Winston. And as you said, he seems to be soaking it in and just really, really enjoying. He talks about being blessed to have the role that he has there in Tampa Bay. And I think from a talent standpoint and a mental state, he's in a really good place right now.
It sure sounds like it. And, that's, again, the whole thing with me, I like Jameis. I've liked him. I know that he had some issues in college. The big red flag, obviously, was the alleged sexual assault.
Yes.
And, you just don't walk away from that. And but he was never charged with it, regardless of what we think might have happened down there, what kind of shadiness went on with the law system, law enforcement down there. It is what it is, and he's a free man, and he doesn't have that hanging over his head. He's a hell of a quarterback. And the other stuff that he did, okay, you're in college.
That's what I was just going to go there. Let me ask you, if the potential domestic violence or aggravated assault, whatever it was, was off that, off his name, it never happened, right? And it was just the crab legs. And it was just the him, it's kind of like yelling
standing
the obscenity.
On the table,
yep. Yeah. Now, as you said, those are 18, 19, 20-year-old problems when you are the man on a campus. Now, one is just flat out wrong, and he's just rude and probably was pressured into doing it. And
sure.
The other, the crab leg situation, just felt like it was just another time at that store, is the way it seems. Hey. They've done right by me four other times just like this and never had a problem. And all of a sudden,
there's a problem.
There's a problem.
Yeah. Nope. Totally agree. Should you put yourself in those positions? Probably not as
no,
a college athlete.
No, right.
Like a famous college athlete. But you're still a kid. That's what I
and
say.
And that's – and you know what? To kind of bring everything full circle, and the closest thing relevant to me was as many times as I get asked – hey, you played with Claret, right? Whatever happened to that guy? And the easiest way to put it was, you have to talk about a young man who had a very rough upbringing in a, his mother raised him in a, single mother household, single parent household, roughing it, from a living standpoint since he was young, goes to, Warren, balls out, goes to Ohio State. And even Ohio State, he was a highly touted recruit, and there was hype centered around Maurice Claret. And I recall this as I was, recovering from my ankle surgery in the offseason, and he enrolled early, and he was kind of like the loner, which a lot of people have said he has, being in the weight room with headphones on, so you couldn't even associate with him. But that instant gratification that you got out of all that hype and him performing the way he did on the football field, I said, you got a kid that comes from nothing, that's had to struggle for everything in his life, gets on a platform, comes to a school like Ohio State, you know, maybe a little bit like Alabama, but there's maybe five schools in the country that are like this, where you come and do what he did and break a freshman rushing record and win a national championship. That time from that national championship until whatever happened after, he goes from nothing to everybody who's anybody in Columbus offering you him anything you want on a silver platter. It's very difficult for a young person, and there are professional athletes to do the same thing, to not take or to not divulge and to say no consistently when it's oh so tempting and it's something that you've dreamed about and it's finally happening to you, for you to say, no, I don't want to drive your free car. I'd rather get on the bus and go, you know, cross campus.
Yep.
Of course you take the car. You know, I mean, yeah, I hate to say that, or it's, you know, the $100 handshakes or whatever it is. It's just very difficult. And I could see, you know, Jameis in that very similar situation.
You're a kid. There's a lot of opportunities. And it's your first time away from home, first time away from mom and dad. You know, things are going to happen. And,
right.
And you make mistakes, you make choices, you move on. You live with them. I mean, I think if you talk to Maurice Claret now, the man's done time, literally.
Yes. And he is, yeah, he is absolutely.
And he's a better person.
He is, absolutely. Doing great things with himself now. I mean, Maurice and I stay in contact, and he's traveling the U.S., maybe even internationally by now, just telling his story. I'll actually see him tonight at the charity football, the flag football game down there in Columbus, which will be fantastic.
What's going on tonight?
We have it's a charity flag football game down in Columbus at New Albany High School. Gates open at 6 p.m., kickoff is at 7:30. You can go to allstarbowl.org to buy tickets, but it's a charity flag football game that benefits after school all-stars, as well as Skin Love, which is basically a charity that draws attention to skin cancers and such.
Okay.
So it's going to be last year, I think a lot of the same guys are playing. So it's Maurice Claret, myself, C. Grant, linebacker on that 2002 national championship team with me, Scott McMullen, who was the backup quarterback behind Krenzel on that 2002 national championship team. Joey Galloway, the speedster, will be there. Kirk Barton, who was a lineman a few years after me under Jim Tressel, very successful in his career. Tyler Everett was a safety, a young player on that 2002 team. And then lastly is Jay Richardson, who was also, I think, a freshman or redshirt freshman on the national championship team, went on to play 5 or 6 years in the National Football League, most of which I think were with the Oakland Raiders.
All right. So how do you guys divide yourselves up?
They tried to stack their teams last year, so it was like Claret, Galloway, Corey Gregory, who's actually the co-founder of Muscle Farm, which is like a supplement company that kind of puts this all together and, you know, kind of bankrolls a lot of it and the marketing side of it. It was me, and I think it was me, C. Grant, Scott McMullen, and I think Doss, but Doss didn't play. And they had Beanie. And Beanie Wells is playing this year. And Beanie Wells was on the other team last year, but he was recovering from his Achilles injury. So he just played like, you know, all-time quarterback. But anyway, you know, Claret's talking smack, you know, at the coin flip about how he's going to get the MVP. And I just literally, this is me as the competitor. And I walk over, I bring our team huddle in. You know, I kind of took over the captain role, even though I wasn't a captain. I was like, I don't care whether we win or lose. I go, but the one thing that's not happening is Maurice Claret is not winning MVP. Are we all on board with this? And so we went all in to double team him.
Were you like
him.
Super guy? Like
I was super
to relive
guy.
The past?
I was, and I reaped it. Yes. So I catch I ran this wheel route. It was like an out route, and I just turned it up the field and broke. I make this like one handed like 50-yard catch on like the third play of the game. People go crazy. I was like Gronk out there, and myself as linebacker. So, and I told myself going into it, I'm not in the best shape. You know, I don't run anymore. But once those lights were on and the fans came out, it was like, I got to put on a show and I got to outdo Maurice Claret. So I balled out and I'm looking to do the same tonight. And they didn't give an MVP award out, but if they did, I would have took the trophy. But we ended up spanking them like 52 to like 16 or something like that.
Are there other players? I'm assuming there's other
players.
Yes.
So it's the way in which they make money is people can pay to come to the game, you know, in attendance and watch. Last year we had 1,500 people. This year we're expecting 3,000. That's why we moved it to New Albany, which is a very beautiful campus. Or there's, of course, us players are split, and then you can actually pay to play in the game.
So
we're playing with, like, you know, former high school kids. You know, I think you have to be 18 or older, but
are
former
you
high school
with, like,
guys.
Joe athlete that's trying to relive the things.
Absolutely, we want those guys. Yes, because we're trying to fight cancer.
That's how you get hurt.
I know, but you know what? It was all there was good competition, good fun. You know, after we got up by two scores, it was the smack talking started. You know, and then Claret wants to start putting his head down when he gets the ball. You know, because he's frustrated because he's not, you know, winning the MVP award. And it's like, I'm trying to pull your flag, dude, and you're putting your head down. Like, really? So I just, like, you know, kind of stepped out of the way and threw him down to the ground. And of course, you're down by contact. But all in all, it's a great event. We're doing that, and then my wife and I are going up for that, and then tomorrow. We're going to Indian Lake, which is about, I think, like north,
yep.
About an hour northwest of Columbus.
Yep.
And we're doing like a booze cruise, like a pontoon cruise.
Oh, God.
And it is a huge fundraiser put together by a great group of people that we met on the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. And they're raising money for, you know, the Urban and Shelley Meyer Cancer Research Fund, which is essentially the fund that is, you know, you raise money for as a part of the Buckeye Cruise. So.
Yeah.
Big, big, big Buckeye weekend for me before Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your liver is going to be shot by the time you get back.
I know.
By the time
I'll have no voice.
Rolls around.
Yeah, I'll have no voice. I will have at least put on 10 pounds. That's a given. Okay, so I'm going to weigh myself like tonight, and I promise I'll come back 10 pounds heavier from Mexico. There's no doubt.
Well,
there's
fantastic.
No doubt. Yes, but anyway, going back to Jameis Winston comments, is like, how encouraging is it to hear how highly he talked about Cam Irving?
I was impressed with Cam. I mean, we already know a lot about Cam Irving, but when the guy's teammates are talking about Cam Irving, the way that, you know, the guys that played with him, and he said, thank God Cam Irving had my back, you just know what kind of player Cam Irving is.
You do, and I think that's... what's exciting to me about that is that, yes, he may in fact play, you know, start this season at right guard. He may not. You don't know. But I love hearing it out of the cow's mouth, you know, from Jameis Winston, that this guy can play everywhere. That he was an All-American at center and he was an All-American at left tackle. And he might not play either of those positions in his rookie year in the National Football League, but he's going to be good enough to start here. That, to me, is exciting.
I mean, that's that's what it's all about. I mean, you need your first play. I'm of the opinion you need your first-round picks on the field on day one.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't think they're worthy of being a number one pick.
You're right. When we've said that leading up to this draft, did we not? We had
yep.
to go get two starters.
Exactly.
And I think you might have got one in your second-round pick as well.
Yeah, I think both your first-round picks could end up starting.
I do too. Well, good conversation. We're going to take a timeout and come back on this free-for-all Friday. As you said, we've got when we come back, we've got Gibbs, you've got some staycation tweets we're going to share. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.